thousands of people greeted him, went to his home chanting, "Today is our day." Much love. President Aristide and his wife met Pierre Labossiere and Robert Ross from Haiti, from Haiti Action Committee, who were there. He thanked them, he thanked us, he thanked all of you who have supported them for so long to make this day possible. But we must be vigilant. Sunday is an election, so-called fraudulent, to choose the next president that's been imposed on the people of Haiti. The Lavrov's party of President Aristide was excluded from this whole electoral process. The two candidates, Milan Maniga and Michel Martelly, are both Duvalier histories, especially Martelly, who ran with the frat death squads in the 90s and says he will make baby Doc Duvalier part of his cabinet if he's elected. So with Aristide returning and the Duvaliers going to be imposed in power in Haiti, this is a momentous moment. Please follow the news. Please join us tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Friends Center at 65 9th Street. There will be a forum sponsored by the Bay Area Latin American Solidarity Coalition called Haiti and Honduras. And speakers from Haiti Action Committee, as well as Porfirio Quintano from Honduras and Resistance in Northern California, will be there. And please come and join us 5 o'clock tomorrow at the Friends Center at 65 9th Street. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, as you know, the point is to bring all these struggles together, connect them, and one key component of them is the veterans. Because aside from all the propaganda that goes along with this war, is that every veteran is for the war. So the next speaker was one of the first to not take the command to go to war. His name is Camilo Mejia. He's an Iraq war veteran of the Iraq Veterans Against the War. So please welcome Mejia. Camilo.
Thanks everyone for being here in defiance of this nasty weather. We have bigger things to defy, obviously. We're here to mark 8 years of U.S. occupation of Iraq. In reality, it's actually been 20 years of aggression against the people of Iraq if we start counting the first Gulf War. We're here to mark the 8-year anniversary of the invasion that has caused over 1 million killed in Iraq, 1 million civilians, plus millions of displaced Iraqis. We are here to be reminded of the hundreds, if not thousands, of years of contamination that we have brought upon Iraqi soil, water, and air. We are here to remember that the Iraq war is not over, but it has been privatized by the new administration. And we still have over 50,000 troops in there. We are here to be reminded of the escalation of the war in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, at home, we are faced with an economic crisis as millions of people remain unemployed or underemployed. We are here to be reminded of the suicide epidemic among veterans. We are here to be reminded of the cuts in education, cuts in social benefits for the poor, for immigrants. We are here to stand against a nationwide assault against unions and workers everywhere. We are here to be reminded of the heightened prosecution of those who are standing up to power to uncover the crimes of this government. I want to talk about Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning, he's basically being prosecuted and facing the death penalty and life in prison because he uncovered the crimes of the U.S. government. We need to stand in support of Bradley Manning. Veterans for Peace and Iraq Veterans Against the War, we stand 100% behind Bradley Manning. He's been humiliated in jail. He's been forced to stand naked in front of the guards every hour. They're not letting the guys sleep. The harassment and humiliation are constant. It's not only because of the stand that he took as an individual, because of the example that he provides to everyday people like everyone here today. Bradley Manning is not a patriot or a hero or a warrior. He's a regular person. He's a regular human being who did an extraordinary thing and who reminds us of the power that we have as individuals to stand together against oppression and against exploitation. We need to move away from the idea of the warrior, hero, and we need to start realizing the power that we have as individuals and as part of a social movement. We need to take the example and inspiration from the movements in the Middle East who have been oppressed for a long time with the support of the United States that has put in place military dictatorships and puppet governments to protect imperialistic interest in the area. We need to learn from the example of the people in the Middle East who are not playing by the rules of their systems anymore. As we stand here in this nasty weather and we stand here in defiance of the cold rain, we need to also remember that the rules by which we are playing today are rules made by the status quo to preserve the status quo. We need to move away from free speech cages. We need to move away from having to beg for permission to gather and to redress the grievances of our society from the very system that is creating those grievances. We need to start realizing our power as people and start moving away from the context of oppression that's imposed upon us to continue playing the games by the rules of the very system that's keeping us oppressed. We need to take the streets. We need to go on general strikes. We need to do what Wisconsin is doing. This is a nationwide attack against everybody here, and we need to respond with the exact same force that the system is coming after us and stronger. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
All right, brothers and sisters, a little chant. The road to peace is U.S. out of the Middle East. The only road to peace is U.S. out of the Middle East. The only road to peace is U.S. out of the Middle East. I can't hear you. The only road to peace is U.S. out of the Middle East. All right. Is U.S. out of the Middle East? We know that, right? I'm sorry. So the next speaker is one of the founders of ANSWER, which is one of the major organizations that's pulling this thing together today. I'm proud to introduce Richard Becker. There you are.
There's always enough money for war. Always enough money for the next war. Even at a time when every program, everything that people need is being cut back and we're told there's no money, there's always money for a new war. And now we're seeing a new war today. And no one should be deceived. Here it is, the 8th anniversary of the illegal, the unjust, the vicious invasion and occupation of Iraq. And in Washington, they've chosen to commemorate March 19th, the anniversary of the Iraq War, by launching another war, a war in Libya. And we have to say no! If anyone is deceived about what this war is about, I want to read one paragraph from a story in this morning's New York Times. Something very revealing, buried deep in the article. It says, Washington, Paris, and London had insisted that at least some Arab governments be involved, at least symbolically, to remove the chance that Colonel Gaddafi could portray the military action as another Western colonial intervention in pursuit of oil. What does that tell us? That tells us that the United Arab Emirates and Qatar and Morocco, who came to that meeting in Paris just before the war was launched, they're just window dressing. And they know it in Washington and Paris and London. Paris and London, the old colonizers, the United States, the new colonizers, all of them imperialists. and all of them not concerned, not doing this because they're thinking about human rights or democracy or any of those lies that they tell us, but because they want the oil. They want the oil of Libya. They want the oil of the entire Middle East. I don't know how many of you know this song. I'm going to say the first stanza of it. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles on the air, the land, and sea. That's the Marine Corps hymn. That's how it begins. The Tripoli they're talking about is the same Tripoli. That was the first foreign war of the United States of America. It was against the people of North Africa from 1801 to 1805. And of course, the halls of Montezuma is a reference to the theft of half of Mexico, including the land we stand on today. That was the first war, the first foreign war. We want to make this one the last foreign war of the United States. But to do that, despite the great turnout here today and this cold rain, we have to go on from today. We can't end up today in debt. A lot of people put up money, put the sound system and the truck and the porta toilets and flyers and posters and banners and placards on credit cards. Well, we have to pay them back. We have to raise money, and we count on all the people who come out today, not only to march, but to help us keep this movement going. We have to keep it going. This is the hope of the future. People have said protests don't work. We have a one-word response, and that is Egypt. It's really how history is made. The people make history. We have to build our movement. Now people are going to come around with white buckets through the crowd. We ask you to make as generous a donation as possible. If you want to write a check, if you can do that, and you want to make it tax deductible, write it to the Progress Unity Fund, or PUF, Progress Unity Fund. Give as generously as you can. Let's go forward together. Let's have a great march in solidarity with the hotel workers here today. Let's join together, because together we can win. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Richard, from ANSA. So as you heard, the big connection for a lot of youth is, where is this money going? Why is there no future for our students, and especially for our college students who now have to be left in debt because they can no longer pay for their education? And what we want, right now that it's getting a bit cold, let's get a chant going. Money for jobs and education! Come on, it's not that cold! Money for jobs and education! Money for jobs and education! When they say cut back, we say fight back! They say cut back! When they say cut back,
we say fight back!
When they say cut back,
we say fight back!
Our next speaker is actually a student from SF State. His name is Omar Ali, Egyptian-Filipino, who is part of organizing and showing that as youth, as students, we have to organize, we have to be in the movement day by day. So please welcome Omar Ali. They say cut back, we say cut back, cut back.
Brothers and sisters, my name is Omar Ali. I'm an organizer with the ANSA Coalition. And I would like to first open to say that many times people became disillusioned and saying that protesting does not achieve anything. To all the people that say protesting does not achieve anything, there's a one-word response, and that is Egypt. For the past 30 years of the Mubarak dictatorship, Egypt has functioned as a proxy state for U.S. imperialism. The United States propped up Mubarak every year with $2 billion in military aid, only second to the settler apartheid state of Israel. The Mubarak regime was an anchor of the U.S. imperialist strategy in the Middle East.
U.S. imperialist domination had functioned in the Middle East primarily through a network of puppet governments that functions as clients for U.S. imperialism and the U.S. military and U.S. economic interests. Until recently, these regimes included the Mubarak dictatorship, the Ben Ali regime, and included the monarchies of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Bahrain, Kuwait, the government in Yemen, and others. All of these U.S.-backed dictatorships have brutally used U.S. military hardware and equipment to repress their own people. For the 18 days in the midst of the Egyptian heroic uprising, Mubarak's thugs, police, murdered, beaten, arrested and tortured thousands of peaceful protesters. During this entire time, the United States administration refused to cut its massive funding from the regime. Now, the U.S. is pretending to salute the youth-led protests that ousted Mubarak. Their only goal at this point is to find a way to maintain that regime without the head of the regime. But the youth of Egypt and the massive working class of Egypt have shown that they are the decisive factor in the political equation. The Egyptian people have proven throughout the course of their revolution that it is not the individual politicians or laws or court decisions that push history forward, but it's rather the masses of people that are the true force for progress and revolutionary change in any society, and including this society. Irrespective of whatever face of politicians in office at any given time, it is always the strength and the organization of the people's movement that is the decisive factor for every struggle for our social justice here in the United States. We urge everybody to get involved in building the movement against imperialism and for social justice here in the United States. We urge everybody to get involved with the Answer Coalition. Join us to fight back against imperialist wars and the wars here at home and against working class and the wars against the working class people here. Join us to fight against racism and bigotry, to say no to Islamophobia, to say no to budget cuts, to say no to racial profiling of immigrants. We here in the United States will continue to stand in solidarity with the people of Egypt, Tunisia, and all who are struggling against U.S.-backed dictatorships across the Middle East and U.S. imperialist interests. So we will continue to demand that the United States get out of the Middle East. We will stand against U.S. wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Pakistan, which includes this no-fly zone that has been imposed on Libya. No to sanctions against Libya. No against the no-fly zone in Libya. So long live the struggling people of the Arab world. Brothers and sisters, we have to stand united and in solidarity against imperialism. So brothers and sisters, they say cut back, we say cut back. Thank you.
All right, you all look beautiful out there. I know it's getting cold. We just have a couple of more speakers and then we're going to march. This next speaker, as we are connecting the dots, as there is oppression and there is militarism around the world, there also is severe oppression here. Our next speaker's sons were with Oscar Grant at the time that he was murdered. It is their father that's here to speak to us today. His name is Jack Bryson. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. I'm here to speak about the truth, power, and taking the rights that are rightfully ours. The connection between the war in America and the war abroad, our need to continue to support strong unions and the rights of workers with the death of Oscar Grant and our legacy of fighting police brutality. We need to take a stand like Cindy Shahan who stood up for the death of her son and other fatalities due to our unnecessary presence in the Middle East. The way we experience police brutality in this country is the way the rest of the world experienced the United States as a bully. Police in this country control lower class communities in the United States. And now we see the military doing this around the world, for example, like they did in Vietnam, South America, and now the Middle East. We are all over the world for profit and control. Just like in the Middle East, people are getting attacked in the streets of the United States. People are being attacked by police officers. And now we have the fear of our unions being taken away because unions are the only group where people matter over profit. I encourage you to stand with your unions and fight for all of us and to live and thrive in our world without persecution for wanting fair wages and treatment. What I would like for us to do is stand up like Wisconsin, Egypt, and the way we stood up for Oscar Grant. Know that this experience has led me to learn that unless we fight back, profit will win over people, and the war and the stripping away of our rights will no longer become a shock, but become the norm. In the name and the spirit of Oscar Grant, take action in your community today, take action tomorrow, and take action forever. Thank you so much.
So we just got a couple more speakers, but the next group of speakers don't need an introduction. They represent where we all come from, each and every one of us, the future, that of our public schools and our public school community. So please give a warm welcome to teacher Antoinette Marcus from the Mission District and her students from public school.
Hi everyone, how's everyone doing? Hi, my name is Antoinette Marquez, and I'm a public elementary school teacher, very proud here in the Mission District. I'm here today to demand that money goes into education and not wars, and to demand that my students get the education that they deserve. It is completely unjust for public schools to be the ones suffering when students and teachers didn't get us in this war in the first place. Yet, it is devastating to see that it is our schools, our students, our teachers, our secretaries, our custodians, our paraprofessionals, our counselors, our teachers on special assignments that are the ones that are being attacked. The amount of school days are being cut, wages are being cut, jobs are getting cut, school supplies are getting cut. The amount of students who can afford to go to college or university is decreasing. The amount of students in a classroom is increasing. But at the same time that these cuts are occurring, the expectations are more demanding. It doesn't make sense. I have 31 kids right now in my class. Who's to say I won't have more next year? And I am positive that regardless of the amount of students I have, the high standards will be expected, even if that comes from my personal time. Investing in education is investing in our community. We want everyone to be educated because it benefits us all. We have to make sure that all of our students, no matter their background or social situation, have the opportunity and the choice to go to a college or university. We need to keep fighting for our rights and not see today as the only chance to do this. No, my friends, today is only the beginning. We need to stand up to the tiny minority who owns and profits from everything and demand that we end these wars and put the money in our schools. Together we are stronger. Let us fight together today, tomorrow, and as long as it takes to fund public education and not war and occupation. Dinero para trabajo y educación, no para guerras y ocupación. Dinero para trabajo y educación, no para guerras y ocupación. Gracias.
Hi everybody, I'm a high school student at Oceana High School. My name is Jiru Serker. I want to thank you all for gathering here today to protest the unrighteous war going on in Iraq, in which many human rights and people are being killed. This war is coming out of all our paychecks. Taxes, that's what I'm referring to. This war is taking away education, school isn't about learning anymore. It's a competition. Since the seats are limited, less of us will have the future we desired. And those limited seats cost money. They cost money students don't have. That may result in students having to work for the U.S. war machine, the Army. Budget cuts clearly show that our government will primarily fund a war for oil than fund our education. We, the people of the world, have to join together and act collectively to end the regime of the oppressors. The oppressors won't back down without a fight, and we're the people will win that fight. Thank you all.
Hi, everybody. My name is Henry Bradley from Buena Vista Elementary School. Is war necessary? Ask yourselves, people. Is war really necessary? Only a bit of money is being spent on education, yet the money for the war increases every second. Why do we need war to make money? Can't we make profit some other way? It's all war, war, war. I don't want to grow up in a war-torn world because I know better, and they are not worth all the pain and suffering they cause people. Let's stop these wars now.
Woo! Hi, everyone. I'm Nina Gonzalez from Buena Vista Elementary. So why are people dying in these wars? The hopes and dreams that people have are shriveling down like a balloon that has popped and is slowly falling. These people that are in favor of the war don't see the real picture. People are dying and families are suffering, and these selfish people are only caring about making profits. They are not thinking of the families and the need to put money being spent on wars into healthcare, creating jobs, and education. After 11 years of war, we are not safe or stronger, just becoming less educated.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Like you said, please give me a round of applause for coming out here today. The next speaker, Michelle Shudell from the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. While the U.S. professes to fight against terrorism abroad, it is harboring a CIA-trained and hired anti-Cuban terrorist. His name is Luis Posada Carriles. Posada killed 73 people by blowing up an airplane in mid-flight. He paid mercenaries to board the plane and plant bombs simply because it was a Cuban airliner. One which killed an Italian tourist in a number of hotel bombings in 1997. Afterwards, he confessed to, quote, sleeping like a baby. Posada has been in CIA payroll from 1961 until the late 1990s. In 93, the FBI called Posada to let him know his life was in danger. But regardless, if they are paying him now, the U.S. is allowing Posada to walk freely in Miami with anti-Cuban terrorists. I saw Posada in El Paso while he was awaiting trial. He was staying at a four-star hotel, walking freely. He's a flight risk. He has already escaped from other prisons more than once, and he could definitely flee again. But the U.S. government lets him walk the streets free because he is their terrorist. Meanwhile, the Cuban Five heroes, five men who infiltrated anti-Cuban terrorist group to stop people like Posada from attacking their country, they're the ones the U.S. puts in prisons. This is a human rights violation, and it is political. It is part of the U.S. plan to overthrow the government of Cuba and install a government that will do its bidding. We are here today to stand by Cuba's sovereign right to self-determination and the right for its people to defend their country. Just like the right of the people in Iraq to have the right to defend their country from U.S. occupation. Just as the Cuban Five fought to keep their brothers and sisters in Cuba from being blown up and terrorized by U.S.-funded Cuban anti-Cuban terrorists like Luis Posada Carriles. Now, if the U.S. were really honest in their attempts to fight terrorism, they would extradite Posada to Venezuela, as the people of Venezuela requested, to be tried for the murder of 73 people. But then the U.S. would have to openly admit that they trained Posada. They would have to admit to the world that when Posada, as a CIA operative bombed the Cuban plane, former President George Bush was acting director of the CIA. But they're not going to do that. The U.S. right now is using a deceitful tactic against Cuba, that of economic terrorism. Cuba has one of the most comprehensive healthcare systems and is known around the world for sending medical aid and doctors abroad. They have had over $4.2 million that the Global Fund gave to Cuba to fight diseases like AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis. That was seized by the USA. That is terrorism, and the real terrorists are U.S. imperialism. Free the Cuban Five, our true heroes. Let them return to their families and continue the struggle against U.S. imperialism. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, it is my honor to introduce the next speaker. Connecting the dots again, how are we going to win? We're going to win if we're all in this together. If faith people are here, if community people are here, if young people are here, if old people are here, if non-union people are here, and if union people are here. And our next speaker is the president of one of, in my humble opinion, best local unions in San Francisco. He's also the president of the San Francisco Labor. He's also a dear friend of mine. Brothers and sisters, welcome Brother Mike Casey.
Thanks, brother. Sisters and brothers, it's a cold and wet day, but we're going to march to the St. Francis in a couple minutes. But you know, the world is upside down today. I don't know when it became okay, for the men and women who drive us from our neighborhoods to work to be demonized, the bus drivers. I don't know when it became okay for the men and women who rush into burning buildings and save our lives to be demonized and attacked. I don't know when it became okay for men and women who study not so they can go to Wall Street and make money, but so that they can educate our children. When did it become okay that teachers and nurses and firefighters and bus drivers should be demonized? It is not okay. It was never okay. What is going on today is insane. We all know what's happened. We all know what's occurred. Over the course of the last 30 years, through deregulation, through globalization, and through the corporatization of the media, working people have been getting the short end of the stick. The Republicans, for 30 years, have had a pretty damn good run. But sisters and brothers, we're at a turning point. The year is less than 3 months old, and already there's been two successful revolutions in the Midwest, and in the Mideast, and an uprising in the Midwest. But let's not fool ourselves. We know that those revolutions and that uprising didn't happen just on the spur of the moment. It happened through the painstaking work of organizing step by step, person by person. And that's what's going on today. And you know, just like the Blackstone Corporation did not wake up on March 3rd and say, hey, let's sign a contract with the hotel workers. It was a result of a year and a half of strategic, ongoing, relentless courage of the sisters and brothers behind me, the members of Local 2 and the greater labor movement in San Francisco that said, you're going to sign a contract. And yesterday, when the Arizona State Senate voted down immigration laws that would have been further attacks on immigrants, it didn't happen at the spur of the moment. It happened because over the course of the last year, through a boycott and concerted activity, the corporations and the business people of Arizona said, enough. It is nice to know that once in a while, corporate greed outpaces and outstrips demagoguery. Sisters and brothers, it's a lot about connecting the dots, but it's also about asking the right questions. The fact is, the question is not, is the surge working or who should be placed in power in the Midwest, in the Mideast to stop the terrorism. The question is, why is America the target of terrorist attacks? That's the question that should be asked. That is the question, because you know as well as I do that the men and women of the working class in America have a hell of a lot more in common with the brothers and sisters who stood on the squares in Egypt and Tunisia and in Yemen, who are fighting for the same things we demand. We demand the same things: freedom and a fair distribution of wealth. We are going to continue to build that movement. They cannot stop us. Together, we're going to continue to march, whether it happens to be marching in the Midwest, marching in Madison, or marching to the St. Francis. We're going to win. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I know you've been patient. We're going to finish off this rally with a great spoken word artist, Boots Riley. So please welcome Boots Riley for the end of the rally.
What's up, y'all? We're going to keep this short and sweet. I got an accompaniment by Gabby Lala. Turn her up. Let's do it. Everybody throw your lighters up, took you off in a fight or what? Everybody get your shit started, this is y'all motherfucking party. Everybody throw your lighters up, took y'all off in a fight or what? Everybody get your shit started, this is y'all motherfucking party. Every death is an abrupt one, every cop is a corrupt one. Went on the cash up in a trust fund. Every cat with a gap on a bus one. Every guest won a plus one. Every tenement's a penitent. So every tribe man is innocent. Top surge should be the sentence pen. Everybody wanna hit a leg. Every one of y'all is getting pimped. Every time I put them in a rip. Every cancer's a homicide. Every boss better run and hide. Every human is skin of black. Every visa got a pin to crack. Every verse from the cardiac. Every voluntary. Every inmate won't commissary. Every bank note is promissory. Every broke motherfucker finna form a gang. When we come, we taking everything.
Having that great ending. Another round of applause, please. Thank you so much. So, we're soon going to be getting ready to march. As you know, we're going to be marching to one of the busiest areas in San Francisco. Francisco, which is Union Square, in front of the famous Weston St. Francis, in front of those who can afford to take away our money, and we're going to protest to stand in solidarity with the local two workers who have been fighting to show that they deserve health care instead of corporate greeds who keep on making more and more profits. So please follow any of the activists. We're going to be lining up in that general direction. In the meantime, we're going to have also a message from Amir Abu-Jamar in prison, who set up a message for March 19th.